Charles Spurgeon Part 8. Why, know this, vain man. When Christ says, stretch out thine arm, he gives you power to stretch out your arm with the command, and the difficulty is solved in practice, though I believe it never will be solved in theory. If they want to hear men preach in intellectual strains, above the capacity of common sinners, let them go and hear them. I must content myself with following my Lord, who made himself of no reputation. One of the most distressing things in the world is to feel yourself a sinner, but that is no reason why I should not exhort you to seek it, for while distressing, it is only the distress of the bitter medicine which will effectually work the cure. Do not seek to get high ideas of yourself. Seek to get a low opinion of yourself. Do not try to deck yourself with ornaments. Let it not be your endeavor to array yourself in gold and silver. Do not seek to be made good in yourself, but seek to strip yourself, seek to humble yourself. Do not soar high, but sink low. Do not go up, but go down. Ask God to let thee see that thou art nothing at all. There will be some depths you cannot explore. There are certain unquestionable facts which you must hold, but there will always be some difficulties through which you will not be able to see. The most favored saint on earth does not understand everything. There is one that rolleth and overrolleth, and quiet prayer has more power with him than impatient fretfulness. It is most injurious to the rest of the family, and is apt to make them feel that they may live as they like, and yet be considered saints when they die. If you sit among coals, if you do not burn yourself, you will blacken yourself. If you choose bad company, if you are not absolutely made to transgress as they do, yet you will damage your reputation. The high priest was the earthly head of their religion. He it was who, alone of mortal men, might enter within the mysterious veil, yet he it was who condemned the Lord of glory, as he rent his clothes, and said, he hath spoken blasphemy, what further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. It makes me tremble as I think of how eminent we may be in the service of God, and yet how awfully we may be enemies of the Christ of God. Let none of us think that, though we even clamber up to the highest places in the church, we are therefore saved. We may be high priests, and wear the Urim and the Thummim, and put on the breastplate with all its wondrous mystic stones, and bind around us the curious girdle of the ephod, and yet, for all that, we may be ringleaders in expressing contempt of God and of his Christ. But there have been some who, after making a profession of religion, have deliberately gone back to the world. After seeming for a while to be very zealous, they have become worldly, gay, and perhaps even lascivious and vile. When a man forsakes Christ for a harlot, when he gives up heaven for gold, when he resigns the joys he professed to have had in Christ in order that he may find mirth in the company of the ungodly, it is another instance of the truth of these words, then did they spit in his face. What, then, if they also spit in mine? If they do, I will hail reproach, and welcome shame, since it comes upon me for his dear sake. True repentance is always accompanied by sorrow. It has been said by some of those of modern times who disparage repentance that repentance is nothing but a change of mind. These words sound as if there was merely some superficial meaning to them, and so, indeed, they are intended by those who use them, but they are not so intended by the Spirit of God. And rest you assured of this fact, that the repentance which has no tear in its eye, and no mourning for sin in its heart, is a repentance which needs to be repented of, for there is no evidence of conversion, no sign of the existence of the grace of God. I do not know about your sin, dear brother, you may be worse than I am, but I do know my own sin so far as to feel that I hope you are not worse than I am, and to believe that I myself must take no other place than among the guiltiest, and cry, God be merciful to me a sinner. Generally, mourning for sin is separate as to place. When a man is under a sense of sin, he likes to get quite alone. I knew one who, in his soul trouble, resorted to a saw pit. Many have hidden behind a haystack, some have gone into the barn. Into all manner of queer nooks and corners we go when we are mourning for sin, but solitude has wonderful charms to a bleeding heart. You feel above all things that, even if it be the open street, you must get into some sort of solitude, if necessary, even the awful solitude of being lost in a crowd. Thus, man recognizes the individuality of his sin by wishing to get apart even as to place. When a man is under a sense of sin, he likes to get quite alone. I knew one who, in his soul trouble, resorted to a saw pit. Many have hidden behind a haystack, some have gone into the barn. Into all manner of queer nooks and corners we go when we are mourning for sin, but solitude has wonderful charms to a bleeding heart. You feel above all things that, even if it be the open street, you must get into some sort of solitude, if necessary, even the awful solitude of being lost in a crowd. Thus, man recognizes the individuality of his sin by wishing to get apart even as to place. Certain ministers are making infidels. Avowed atheists are not a tenth as dangerous as those preachers who scatter doubt and stab at faith. That which their fathers would have lamented they rejoice in, the alienation of the poor and simple-minded from their ministry they accept as a compliment, and the grief of the spiritually minded they regard as an evidence of their power. Truly, unless the Lord had kept his own, we should long before this have seen our Zion plowed as a field. Numbers of easy-minded people wink at error so long as it is committed by a clever man and a good-natured brother, who has so many fine points about him. Let each believer judge for himself, but, for our part, we have put on a few fresh bolts to our door, and we have given orders to keep the chain up, for, under color of begging the friendship of the servant, there are those about who aim at robbing the master. We fear it is hopeless ever to form a society which can keep out men base enough to profess one thing and believe another, but it might be possible to make an informal alliance among all who hold the Christianity of their fathers. Little as they might be able to do, they could at least protest, and as far as possible free themselves of that complicity which will be involved in a conspiracy of silence. Grown up among us is a school of men who say that they rightly preach the gospel to sinners when they merely deliver statements of what the gospel is, and of the result of dying unsaved, but they grow furious and talk of unsoundness if any venture to say to the sinner, "Believe, or repent." To this school Peter did not belong. Into their secret he had never come, and with their assembly, were he alive now, he would not be joined. For, having first told his hearers of Christ, of his life and death and resurrection, he then proceeds to plunge the sword, as it were, up to the very hilt in their consciences by saying, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Repentance is a discovery of the evil of sin, a mourning that we have committed it, a resolution to forsake it. It is, in fact, a change of mind of a very deep and practical character, which makes the man love what once he hated, and hate what once he loved. Conversion, if translated, means a turning round, a turning from, and a turning to, a turning from sin, a turning to holiness, a turning from carelessness to thought, from the world to heaven, from self to Jesus, a complete turning.